Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, gang?
So today, Patrick Chapin's going to be on. This is actually a bonus episode. So we recorded too much on Monday, and so we're separating out the Grixis Control deck tech. This weekend is the last pre-TQ for Modern, and so we wanted to make sure we get this deck tech out to you guys so you have the information if you're going to play the deck, if you're going to play against the deck, or if you want to maybe audible in the deck last minute. Here's the information. We want to once again thank Patrick Chapin. The full episode will be out Monday with where we talk about card draw, Chapin's Magic history, a lot of good information on how to play Magic to the next level. And we will see you guys in a couple seconds.
See you soon. So let's get into your deck because I'm more interested in talking about that today. Your Grixis deck. First of all,
congratulations. Grixis is good.
Congratulations on it being awesome. When did you identify that this was going to be something? What was the GP you played this at? Was it 6 weeks ago? Five, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah. Was that when Providence?
Something.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
That.
I think it was Grand Prix Providence. Probably 5 weeks ago sounds right. 6 weeks ago, something like that.
When did you identify that Grixis Control was going to be nuts, that you were super excited to sleeve it up?
Well, I guess I don't necessarily think of it in those terms, but it was more of a... So in the beginning, Treasure Cruise was printed, and it was good.
Right.
And I played Treasure Cruise at the World Championships and exoed the Modern portion. And that deck was busted. I mean, people knew about it beforehand, but I think there were a lot of people who didn't think that it was as busted as it was. It was not beatable. And Treasure Cruise got banned, but I immediately started working on other delve cards because Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time are not the only ways to delve. And as soon as Tasiker and Gurmag Angler were printed, I started experimenting with them. And it was a little tricky at first because I didn't necessarily, not everybody was as interested in making Gurmag Angler Tasiker decks. But when I was preparing for Grand Prix Providence, once I switched back into thinking about Modern mode, basically just already had the idea from Paul Rietzel and I's Worlds deck, the deck that Paul Rietzel, Matt Sperling, and I came up with for Worlds, where it's just like, let's try replacing Treasure Cruise with Tasiker and see what happens, which is what I did for the Pro Tour before. I just ended up settling on Esper instead of Grixis, but eventually realized that Grixis would have been better. So I don't know. I don't know that there's a specific time. You got to understand, I have never played a Modern format that I didn't build a Grixis deck for.
You've been trying
in my
the whole
entire
time.
Life. So like, I don't know. It's weird to say that I realized this was going to be a time where it worked out. I mean,
it's more that I did the thing I do every single time, and then it worked out this time around.
Yeah, I mean, I try other decks too. It's just there's lots of things that I always try, and Grixis is definitely one of them. And this is just I think that the important thing about that Providence deck, though, was a reconceptualization of what Grixis was looking like, because I think initially a lot of people were very hung up on Delver of Secrets and Young Pyromancer. And once you don't have Treasure Cruise anymore, it changes the dynamic of how you play. You know, like, for instance, using Terminate instead of Burst Lightning or Vapor Snag is a different direction conceptually. And moving away, you know, basically once you don't have Treasure Cruise, it makes it hard to want to play Monastery Swift Spear.
Right.
And once you don't have Monastery Swift Spear, then Delver of Secrets starts getting a little bit worse. And if you play, you know, if you play Thoughtseize or Inquisition or anything like that, which I didn't end up playing there, but the more counterspells you play, the worse Young Pyromancer gets. And basically, I kind of just started moving away from a Delver deck and moving closer to like some of the Grixis, Vedalken Shackles control decks that some people, because there are some people, you know, like Gerard Fabiano, excellent, excellent deck builder. He was experimenting a lot. Him and Matt Costa played a Grixis deck that used Tasiker, but it was like a Blood Moon deck. It was like a Blue Moon deck that splashed black for Terminate, or not even, they didn't even play Terminate. They played just, I think, like Go for the Throat and Tasiker in their Vedalken Shackles Blood Moon deck. And I kind of ended up moving a little bit closer towards the direction of where I think they were trying to go. You know, like we kind of ended up meeting a little bit. I started from the Delver side, and so I used a little bit more cantrips. And I guess that's a rambling sort of bunch of words about Grixis.
Sure. Well, so first tell us, like, what is the deck trying to do exactly? I mean, like, what your game plan? What's the game plan?
So it's a little bit different than some of the Delver of Secrets decks that people have played in the past. That Grixis deck, it's much more like a Next Level Blue style of deck where you put out a Tarmogoyf and protect it.
Right.
And you kind of just use counter spells to make sure that your opponent doesn't, you know, kill you outright. But you mostly are just taking advantage of the fact that your cards are super, 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 super efficient. And rather than play with a 2-mana 4-5, you get to play with a 1-mana 5-5. Or a 1-mana 4-5 that draws cards, and you have tons of card advantage. But instead of using like a Cruel Ultimatum or a Sphinx's Revelation, where you try to get all your card advantage for one card, you have tons of 2-for-1s. Snapcaster Mage is a 2-for-1. Culligan's Command is a 2-for-1. Cryptic Command is a 2-for-1. There's all these cards that are 2-for-1s, and they snowball together. And then when you combine that with the fact that the deck has a very low land count compared to a lot of decks because of the fact that it has so many cantrips allowing it to find land early when it needs it, it has this virtual card advantage because later in the game it draws spells more frequently than other decks, and it takes so little mana for it to operate because almost every card in the deck costs so little.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the history of the deck a little bit, where it came from, it's the genesis of the Delver decks and all that. If you were going to go to this tournament, I'm planning on taking your deck list too on Sunday. What would be the reasons I would justify to people? Why am I bringing this deck? I mean, aside from just thinking it's awesome, but like...
Am I you or am I me?
Well, I'm going to steal your words and tell them to people on Sunday when they ask me why I'm playing it. No, I'm just kidding. If you were telling somebody, why would you play it this weekend?
It uses a bunch of the best cards. It's super, super mana efficient. It can be customized. It can be good against a lot of things. It's generally good against a diverse field in which you don't necessarily know what all your opponents are going to play. Somebody who has a lot of experience with the format can leverage that experience to make good decisions with their library manipulation spells and modal cards. And at the end of the day, it exploits the fact that Gurmag Angler and Tassigar are really, really abusive with fetch lands and hyper-efficient cantrips.
And a cantrip Dark Ritual.
Yeah, like Thought Scour in particular.
Is really good. Okay, go ahead, Jesse.
So I guess we've talked a lot about how Tassigar and Gurmag Angler added to the deck, but I definitely want to talk about a little bit, what is Culligan's Command really? Is that possibly the card that put this kind of over the top, or what do you think it's purely the Delve spells?
Well, the Delve cards are literally the only thing that make it possible. That is what is going on. But the Culligan's Command, I think, is why the deck is one of the defining decks of the format. It's a radical change of the balance of power to have such powerful main deck artifact removal that is so good against everybody and interacts so well with Snapcaster Mage. And the fact that Culligan's Command just upsets the apple cart with regards to what Affinity used to do in the format and how you can interact with Tron and what you can do to a Dark Confidant. You know, like Culligan's Command is a very powerful card in a bunch of places that didn't used to have as much power put in them. And so it's changed the texture of the format and made it much more hospitable for a deck like Grixis.
So I get...
I would like to note on your question about why one should play it or not.
Yeah.
I think that the 30 best decks in Modern are all kind of close together in terms of their power level, and that there's actually much more advantage to be gained. If your only goal is to maximize your short-term win expectation, there's a lot of advantage to be gained to playing something that is your style, to play something that you enjoy, to play something that you understand the matchups of and have experience with, because all the decks are relatively close. I think that Grixis is something that I am experienced with and I really enjoy it. And I think that Grixis is really well tuned, but it is possible to tune other decks. And if your goal is to short term win the most, I don't actually know that Grixis is the right choice, but it might be. Only you can know that. But I know that long term, getting tournament experience with all of the best decks is very, very powerful for a brewer. Anybody who brews a lot would do really well to enter a tournament at least one time with each of the most iconic decks that just kind of stand the test of time, because that new perspective gives you so many tools to use for your brews in the future.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. So, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like you've written before about the power of the Fairies deck when it was in Standard years ago, and the difference in play styles and when you had to make that decision. It's the who's the beatdown argument of you switching from tempo to control, right? That's, I mean, it's a classic conversation people have. And I want to say you even talk about it in your book. But this deck, because you get to play a big threat early and you have so many of these 2-for-1 control cards, does it have the similar functionality where you at one point
absolutely
in the game?
Absolutely. That's just, yeah, it's an aggro control deck. It's a classic aggro control deck. It's just like Fairies. It's just like Cobblade. You sometimes play the aggressive role and sometimes the controlling role. And often what you'll do is you'll look like you're a control deck up until the moment you switch on a dime, and then suddenly you are very, very aggressive and you're just trying to tempo your opponent out of the game. You know, like a Fairies deck used to do the same thing. It'll sit there and be like, counterspell, kill your creature, counterspell, counterspell. And then all of a sudden, you're turning on them and you're like, okay, now I'm just going to try to go miss my click, or hit you with my Fairies enough times to kill you before you can get back into this game. The Grixis deck does the same thing. It can sit there and be like, okay, I'll bolt that, I'll counterspell that, counter that, destroy that artifact. Next thing you know, you start hitting them with a 5/5, and it only takes a couple turns before they're dead. And sometimes next thing you know is the second turn of the game. But it could switch, you know, depending on the texture of the game, it could be turn 2, or but it could be turn 10.
Absolutely.
That's one of the big skills with a deck like this. Any kind of aggro control deck is identifying what are you currently playing as the control or as the aggression. And I think the fundamental difference between a deck like this and like a Merfolk deck, a fish deck, which can have some similarities in that it has creatures and some counterspells. A difference between a Grixis deck and a Merfolk deck is the classic aggro control versus fish, which is that with a fish deck, you put out your clock, as much clock as you can, and then you try to use a time walk or two to seal the deal. Whereas with a fairy deck or Grixis, it's like you're doing a bunch of time walks early on until you can set up a situation where you clock your opponent.
Sure, that makes perfect sense.
So a question I was trying to get to a little earlier, and we'll finish it. We get a lot of questions a lot of the time, and recently, because Grixis is a thing, we've been getting them less. But the question is, what type of card needs to be printed to make control viable in Modern? And the biggest answer people generally give is some type of you draw a bunch of cards. And from Wizards' perspective, at least they've said this, and from testing, that generally leads to decks like Splinter Twin becoming more powerful. The reason I was talking about Colligan's Command is I do think that's the type of card advantage, that's the type of card draw, bunny ear quotation marks, that these type of control decks need more to be more viable in Modern versus something like draw 3 cards for 1 mana, which obviously was too good.
I would play with draw 3 cards for 1 mana. That's just a rate issue. I think at the end of the day, it's not so much which kind of card advantage, it's mostly just a function of rate and efficiency with regards to the texture of Modern. Like I say efficiency, so normally efficiency would just be rate also, but like Modern in specific makes you really, really, really value mana being as cheap as possible, because every additional mana that something costs is at a premium when every single card is undercosted. You know, and in Modern, basically the entire format is all things that are undercosted. And so the different, like if everything is undercosted, the, you know, like in Standard, so everything being a card being 1 mana too cheap that costs 6, the difference between 5 and 6 in Standard might be a big deal, but the difference between 5 and 6 in Modern might not mean anything because they're both just too expensive anyway.
Right.
Right. Once you're there, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter if Elspeth cost 5. You still probably wouldn't get to play her in Modern, probably.
Well, not according to the
hashtag. I don't
know.
I would
guys.
Play. I could imagine playing Elspeth if she cost 5.
Yeah, I know. You love that card. That's like your favorite.
And I played Elspeth at costing 6 in Modern, so I could definitely see playing it at 5. That sounds like a good time.
That's so really healthy. Quickly on the subject of Grixis, and maybe it's in the deck, what's the best card drawing spell in Modern?
The best card drawing spell in Modern is Snapcaster Mage.
Excellent. It is in the deck. Fantastic. How do you feel about that card being $100 plus?
Predictable.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's definitely something that was coming on. All right. So the next step,
just going up.
Well, it could be the RPTQ or the RPTQ promo next year. I don't even know if they did anything. Liliana's
price. I hope they reprint it. You know, like Modern Masters 3, better have it because.
Oh yeah.
That card is going to keep going up in value. It's the best creature in Magic. You know.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be in, I mean, if it's not before, it'll definitely be in Modern Masters 3. There's no question.
Unless there's, like, a return to Innistrad, and it's just there, I guess. But, okay,
like,
so...
If Vegas had odds that I could go put down, like, $1,000, and they gave me any kind of odds, even if they were just, like, 3-1 odds that Snapcaster Mage would be in, I would just put the money down to tomorrow. Like, there's not even a doubt in my mind.
All right, so...
Awesome.
So, moving on to the Gauntlet. So, let's take... Grixis through some of the best decks in Modern, see like how you'd kind of deal with those matchups or how those matchups would kind of play out.
Yeah, just a few words on each one.
So black green X deck, so Jundur Junk.
Play card advantage. Make sure you don't lose to a Dark Confidant. I actually decrease the amount of Gourmet Anglers that I play with and focus more on winning with like Snapcaster Mages and Fulminator Mages. And card advantage and just try to grind them out because they're very good at killing creatures and they're going to board in like all these answers to your fatties. So try to win with your other cards.
Fair.
All right. Twin and all of its variations.
Playing with a bunch of very efficient cards that interact with them. The main thing is that you baseline just crush them anyway. So just don't lose to like Batterskull and Jace, Architect of Thought, and Blood Moon and Karanos. You know, like as long as you don't lose to the weird cards, you baseline beat them anyway.
The big mana decks with Tron and or Amulet Bloom.
The most important thing is to not play against them. But if you do have to play against them, hit them from a lot of different angles. You have to play with tons of cards that interact with them. You got to obviously do things like against. First of all, Fulminator Mage is the most important, but also Shadow of Doubt is amazing if you have it in your deck. But just figure out which battles you can actually fight them on and try to tempo them out, both of them, because you can't win going long against either one of them. You have to try to tempo them out. So try to put down a clock and time walk them 3 times, you know?
Fair enough. All right. The general aggro strategy, so Affinity, Elves, Merfolk, all the creatures decks.
Kill everything.
Okay. And
I also just board in Damnation, and Damnation is great, but just kill everything. Board in more cards that kill things. If you have an option to kill things or play something that doesn't kill things, kill things instead.
As of today, how many dispels would you play main deck in this deck?
I don't know. I haven't looked at enough tournament results to know for sure, but I would play one or two main deck, and I would sideboard up to 4 for sure.
Yeah, it's such a good card right now.
All right. So those are kind of specific decks. What would you say is the worst and best matchups for this deck?
Worst matchup is definitely Collected Company, without question. Some kind of a Collected Company, but not like weird Collected Company with like artifacts, for instance, but Collected Company with like Knight of the Relic. Yeah, exactly. Like Voice of Resurgence, Kitchen Finks, Knight of the Reliquary. Somebody's just trying to like grind you out. That's the worst matchup without question.
Weren't you like 0-15 testing against Coco before the Pro Tour?
Yeah. Well, in the Grand Prix, I just didn't win any matches at all, like, or any games, just nothing. The best matchup, there are a lot of extremely good matchups. So what is the best matchup?
Twin?
I don't know. There's a whole bunch of matchups that I've never lost a game. And I've played like a lot, so I don't know.
That's
I guess like
that's just, normally
just
the harder.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess. The best matchup is the mirror.
Really?
The fake mirror though. If somebody plays like a Delver of Secrets deck, it's just like your deck but worse in every way.
And you can just kill their threats, but they can't kill your threats.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that. There's a bunch of matchups. Basically, if somebody just does something that's fair, but if somebody is I don't know. There's a lot of things that are like that. Twin, I guess. Same thing. Twin is like a worse mirror.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. And then last
thing. Even Jund is like a worse mirror. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
No. Last thing. What are some special things to keep in mind? If I'm going to take this deck, or Ben's taking this deck apparently this weekend to a tournament, cool, tricky things that, you know, you might not necessarily see the first time playing it? What are some special things you want to maybe bring up for people to keep in mind?
Things to keep in mind when you play Grixis that are special.
Or just in general.
I know that almost everybody does this wrong, which is that when they play against Burn, they always want stuff like Spellskite. They're like, oh, Spellskite will protect me, Sundrop it. But every Burn player in the world always boards in their Smash to Smithereens or Destructive Revelry or whatever card they have that does that kind of thing. And that's not the right way to fight them anyway. If you take out all your cards that cost three or more, and you instead just make your deck nothing but think, like, your instants cost two or less, and your cards that you have to play in your turn cost one. And that's it.
And a spell, and sweet.
Absolutely. That's even better, because that's a card you can play in your opponent's turn that costs one. But if you just make all your cards super, super cheap and trade with their cards, then you end up winning, because they functionally have to – they have to use five cards. They have to use five cards to beat you. And you don't have to let them get five cards ahead, because you can keep trading with them. And then your anglers and tassigers beat every card in their deck. Oh, also, make sure to sideboard out Cryptic Commands if Cryptic Commands seems slow.
Yeah, I mean, it costs four. It's difficult to justify. I know you want to justify it, but
no, you can play it in the main deck, and it's awesome. I think what I mean is that when sideboarding, I think a lot of people don't sideboard out Cryptic Command as much as they should. In particular, against blue decks, because they're going to have a four dispels, and if they have a bazillion dispels, you don't want to have to Cryptic Command all the time.
Fair enough.
So just be careful about having very many.
And once again, I want to thank Patrick Chapin for coming on. We are at the MMCast on Twitter.
I am at Ben Bateman Media.
I am at Cass Wiley. Remember to go check out the Command Zone. They do awesome Commander content. To find Chapin, go to Star City Games. He has a Facebook page. He is the P Chapin on Twitter, at the P Chapin. So check him out. And remember to follow him next Monday when we release the full episode. It's going to be awesome. And we will see you guys on Monday.
See you soon.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.